Title: Tension before the first drop at 170 BPM advanced. All right, let's build that moment right before the first drop in drama and bass at 170 BPM. This is advanced arrangement work, but it's the kind that instantly makes your track feel like it knows what it's doing. Here's the big idea. The first drop lives or dies on tension design. And at 170, you don't have a long runway. So the goal is not make it louder. The goal is contrast engineering. We're going to raise expectation and detail while we secretly take away the floor underneath the listener. Then, when the drop hits, it feels inevitable. Open Ableton Live in arrangement view. Set your tempo to 170, 4/4. Before we touch any sounds, we're going to set phrasing, because phrasing is your framework and it does a lot of the psychological heavy lifting. Put locators at bar 1 for intro start, bar 17 where the build begins, bar 29 for the pre-drop, the last 4 bars, and bar 33 for the drop. This is a classic 32-bar pre-drop layout. And here's why it works. Most ENB tension is predictable structure with unpredictable detail. People want to feel the countdown, but they don't want to get bored during it. Now picture the energy curve like 3 lanes, not 1. Lane 1 is rhythmic information. More hats, more ghost notes, more fills. Lane 2 is weight, meaning sub and low end fundamentals. Lane 3 is space, meaning width and reverb and the sense of room. If all 3 lanes rise together, you mostly get loudness. If you raise rhythm while reducing weight, and maybe narrowing space at the very end, you get inevitability. That's the kind of tension that makes a drop feel huge even at the same peak level. Let's build the skeleton first. Bars 1 through 16 is your intro and tease. Atmosphere, minimal drums. You can hint the bass tone, but do not reveal the full bass pattern. Think of it like showing the color palette, not the full picture. Bar 17 through 28 is your build and escalation. This is where hat layers come in. Percussion movement, risers, and automation. The key is gradual mid-range density, not sub, mid-range. Bars 29 through 32 is the pre-drop suck. This is where you subtract, pull the sub, reduce kick presence, manage stereo, and set up a fill plus a micro gap. Then bar 33 is the drop impact. Full drums, full sub, full lead bass, and it must be clean. No messy reverb tails stepping on your first kick and snare. Cool. Now we'll start with drum tension, because drum and bass is arrangement through drums. But we're going to do controlled density, because if you blow your headroom in the build, the drop can't win. First, hats. Create a closed hat track. Program a 1-bar loop of straight 16 THS, but with velocity variation so it breathes. You can do an alternating feel. One hit around 70, next around 45, then 60, then 40, and repeat. It's not a rule, it's just a fast way to get humanish motion without going full random. Then add a groove from the groove pool. Something like a swing 16 groove, lightly. Amount around 10 to 20%. We're not making garage, we're just making it feel less like a machine gun. On this hat track, drop an EQ 8 first. High pass it somewhere between 200 and 400 Hz. If it's harsh, do a small dip, like 2 to 4 dB, around 7 to 10 kHz. Then add saturator with soft clip on, drive around 1 to 3 dB. You're not trying to make it distorted, you're trying to give it density so it reads at lower volumes. Then add auto filter with a high pass 12 dB slope. We'll automate that later for tension. Now arrange the hats like a reveal. Bars 1 to 8. Either no hats or extremely light. Bars 9 to 16, bring them in quietly. Bars 17 to 28, increase the hat level by about 2 to 4 dB over that section, and add occasional little 30-second note bursts as tiny sparks. Bars 29 to 32, add a tight hat roll or stutter fill. Tight is the word. At 170, long rolls can get cheesy fast. Now we add snare build language. This is not your main snare. This is the warning system that tells the listener we're approaching the edge. Create a snare build track, with a short snare or clap that has a sharp transient. Pattern it like this. From bars 17 to 24, keep it simple. Maybe hits on 2 and 4, or even just on 4 if you want more restraint. Bars 25 to 28, add extra hits, like eighths leading into bar ends. Bars 29 to 32, you can do a 16th note build, but only for the last one or two bars. Save it. If you run full 16 THS for 4 bars at 170, it stops feeling like escalation and starts feeling like a loop. On the snare build, put drum bus. Drive around 5 to 15%. Keep boom off. We do not want low end here. Then push transients up, somewhere like plus 10 to plus 30. That transient emphasis equals urgency. Then do reverb as ascend if possible. Set a reverb decay around 1.2 to 2.5 seconds and filter it. low cut may be 300 to 800 Hz, high cut 6 to 10 kHz. Here's the key move, automate the reverb send so it grows into the pre-drop, then hard cut it right before the drop. If the verb tail is still alive when the first kick hits, your drop will feel smaller, even if it's louder. Now we build a three-layer riser system. This is where a lot of modern DNB builds get their power. Not one riser, but multiple frequency stories stacking together. First, a noise riser. Create a track with operator. Set the oscillator to noise. Turn the filter on. Then add auto filter after it, low pass 12, resonance around 0.7 to 1.2. Automate at cutoff rising across 8 to 16 bars, typically bars 17 to 28. Add utility and widen it to maybe 140 to 170%, but listen for harshness and phase weirdness. Then a limiter as safety, not as a vibe. In bars 29 to 32, keep that cutoff almost open, but then mute or gate it just before the drop. You want it to feel like pressure that suddenly disappears, leaving a vacuum. Second, a tonal riser. Use wavetable or operator, something saw-based or harmonically rich. Automate pitch rising. Classic is up 12 semitones over 8 bars. More aggressive is up 7 semitones over 4 bars. Add echo with a rhythmic delay like 1/8 or dotted 1/8, low feedback, like 10 to 25%, and filter it dark, so it doesn't turn into a cheesy trance riser. Pro move, near the end, speed up modulation. If you have an LFO rate controlling something like filter or wavetable position, automate the LFO rate faster in the last 4 bars. That creates panic energy. Not louder, more urgent. Third, the DNB specific sauce, a Reese resample swell. Take your Reese or lead bass from the drop, resample a long note or a phrase, put it into simpler and classic mode. Add auto filter, low pass 24, with a bit of drive. Automate the filter opening slowly across the build. Let resonance increase slightly near bars 29 to 32. Add overdrive or saturator moderately. The goal is that it feels like the drop bass is trying to break through the door, but it never fully gets in until the drop. Now we hit the advanced moment. The pre-drop suck. This is subtraction as impact design. On your bass bus, put a utility and automate gain. In the last quarter note or last half bar before the drop, mute the bass entirely, or if you want a more continuous style, dip it by 6 to 12 dB for the last bar instead of full mute. Either way, you're withholding the floor. Optionally, set width to 0%, mono, for the last bar, then restore at the drop. That mono to wide change can make the drop feel like it expands outward. On your drum bus, use EQ8. Automate a low shelf down starting at bar 29. Something like minus 1 dB at 120 Hz at first, and by bar 32 you might be at minus 3 to minus 6 dB. You can also do a very brief high pass sweep up to 80 to 120 Hz right before the gap. That's the where did the floor go moment. The ear panics a little, in a good way. Now the micro gap, which is one of the highest impact moves at 170 BPM. Right before bar 33, cut a tiny slice of silence. Often an eighth note is perfect. Sometimes a 16th is enough. You can cut everything, or leave one tiny filtered vocal chop or click as a thread. In Ableton, select the clips at the end, split with Scene MD or Control E, and delete the last eighth note. That gap is not just silence. It's a trigger. It tells the listener, brace yourself, and it makes the first transient land harder. Now let's talk about control entails, because the most common mistake is smearing the drop with build reverb. Create a return track called Verb Throw. Put reverb on it with a long decay, like 2.5 to 5 seconds, pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds, low cut around 500 Hz, high cut around 8 to 10 kHz. Then after the reverb, put a gate. Set the threshold so it closes fast after the throw. Attack 1 to 5 ms, hold 50 to 120 ms, release 80 to 200 ms. Now automate sends from your snare build, vocal chops, or effects only on key hits. Then right before the drop, hard mute the return or pull the return volume down. That's how you get massive space without ruining the first hit. At this point, you've built a lot of moving parts, so we're going to make it repeatable with macro automation. Create an auto effect rack on a build group or on your FX group, and think one hand on the lever. Map macros like a high pass cutoff on the drum bus, riser volume, reverb send amount, stereo width on pads or FX, saturation drive on the drum bus, noise riser filter cutoff, pitch riser amount, and a pre-drop mute macro that controls a utility gain or a track activator via MIDI mapping. Automation strategy from bars 17 to 32. gradually increase the first few macros, smooth curves. Then in bars 29 to 32, spike one or two things, like reverb send and tonal riser intensity, while simultaneously thinning low end. Then at bar 33, hard reset everything. Instant drop impact. Here's an extra coach trick that separates good from scary good at 170, micro timing as tension. In the final four bars, take build-only percussion like shakers, rides, tiny ticks, and nudge them late by 5 to 12 milliseconds. Just those. Not the main snare, not the core grid. Then snap everything back to the grid at the drop. That tiny lean back creates drag, and the drop feels like release even if nothing else changes. Also remember, tension is an unanswered question. Tease the drop motif incomplete. Maybe your bass plays the first one or two notes of the drop phrase, then cuts off before resolving. Or preview the hat groove but hide the kick and snare relationship. You want recognition without satisfaction. Now, drop impact. At bar 33, make the first hit undeniable. Your kick transient must be clean. Your sub must be back at full. And there should be no long reverb tail masking the first snare. Add an impact one shot and a reverse cymbal into it. On the impact chain, EQ8, high pass around 38C. Cut mud around 200 to 400 if needed. Drum bus with transients plus 10 to plus 20. Utility discipline. Keep low end mono below about 120 Hz. And if you want a little extra perceived punch, add a very short white noise tick exactly on the downbeat. Tiny. Almost subconscious. Quick check on common mistakes before we wrap this into a practice. If everything ramps up from bar 1, you run out of escalation. Save your biggest moves for bars 25 to 32. If there's too much low end in the build, the drop won't feel like it arrives. If your high end is over wide, especially noise risers, you'll get harshness and facey hats. If reverb isn't controlled, your first kick and snare will feel soft. If there's no micro gap, the drop can feel like a continuation, not an event. And if the build is just the same loop louder, you don't have tension, you have volume. Now a mini practice exercise. Build a 16-bar pre-drop using only stock devices. Use three tracks. Hats, noise riser, snare build, plus your existing drum and bass buzzes. Over the 16 bars, automate hats up by about 3 dB by the end. Automate noise riser cutoff from close to almost open. Automate the snare build reverb send from 0 to about 25%, then cut it to 0 right before the drop. Add a 1/8 silence before the drop. Then export bars 17 to 33 twice. Version A has no gap. Version B has the gap and a sub dip. This audio version is shortened for playback.